Well, hello, and welcome to Sisters You Have Value podcast. I'm your host, Kim Tolliver, and I'm super excited to be here with you today. Happy Friday. This podcast was created for women because we believe in the power of sisterhood and unity, and we strive to build a community where women can share their passions, learn from each other's experiences, and support each other on their journey. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of You Sisters You Have Value. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for tuning in, and we pray you continue to come back for more. Give us a like, share, and follow. Tell a friend. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for being on this awesome journey with us, and we pray you continue to come back as always. All right, grab your coffee, tea, drink. You know the drill. Let's get into it. This one... Today is a kind of tough one for me, and I don't even remember. You know, I've had these blackout moments where I don't even remember sometimes what I even talked about the time before, but these last couple of months or whatever, I always tell my daughter, and I probably mentioned it about my metamorphosis. I know when there's a change in my life, and I know when God is moving me. To emotional at the beginning. You know, people don't understand, even when you don't think he moving. Whether you believe or not, there's always something changing in your life. Change is inevitable. Change is something you just can't, you can't get over it. You can't get under it. You can't get around it. You got to go through it because change will happen. The loss of a loved one is change. The ending of a relationship is change. The loss of a job is change, or retiring and going to a new career, or retiring and sitting at home is change. So, you know, it's always change. Sometimes we just don't look at it like that. But for me, this particular place I'm at in my life right now is hard. It's difficult, and it doesn't feel good, but I know it's necessary. So, and even in knowing it's necessary, don't mean you have to like it, because I can tell you right now, I don't like it. I don't like it at all, but it's necessary, and to God be the glory. So at the end, we know he'll get the glory and he'll work a good work in me. So in doing that, I've been like really diving deep into some meditation time, my prayer time, my walk, and things like that. On a journey, just trying to make it through, you know, and so we need that spiritual side to make it through in this life. And so I want to talk about pruning today, pruning your life for growth. We'll call it that. We're pruning. That's a process. So sometimes we can feel like magnets. You ever feel like a magnet in life, like you know, collected a relationship? We collect commitments, we collect obligations, habits, thoughts, desires, dreams, other people's opinions of us on this journey that we call life. But then when we collect it all, what do you do with all of it? How do you manage it, like to keep it all going? So for me, you know, and I think anybody, there are times when no amount of planning can get us to do all we feel that we need to do. And if you're feeling stagnant, overwhelmed, it might be a time for that spring cleaning and to look at pruning your life for growth. And again, I started, you know, mine happens over the years. It's a periodic thing. So I know this year of pruning, but as I age and I get older, this one is tough for me because it's pruning away things that made me suffer so long ago. I don't even know if that makes sense to even say it. It hurts to go through it, but yeah, it does. When you realize that everything that you used to live wasn't good and healthy for you, for where you are now. So you have to cut it. You got to prune it to get away, to get where God is desiring us to be. So you have to really be willing, to prune it. So, you know, it's easy when you remove a few things out your schedule. You know, you can create some space, some breathing time. You got room for the unexpected then, and then it's a lot less stressful. And then you have that space where you can reflect on what's moving, but you got to be able to say bye. You got to be able to say goodbye. And y'all know I used to say, I have the gift of goodbye. But removing the dead is the only kind of pruning that, and I mean that, like the dead leaves, when you think of pruning and when you get into the garden and things, we prune all the dead things, the branches, the leaves and things off from that in order for the roses to grow, in order for the branches to grow, in order for the trees to grow. But Dr. Cloud has a book called Necessary Endings. And in his book, he talks about three kinds of pruning that are good for you. And the first one he talks about is cutting back on the good to make room for the best. Sometimes we can have things in our life that it's good, it's okay, but it's not the best for your life. We can collect more than we maintain than we can. And it's hard to say goodbye to good things. You ever see those shows called Hoarders? And, you know, man, bless their heart, the people houses are just, man, cluttered. Or you ever go somewhere and you pick up something and say, oh, no, you know, I need that. You know, I need that. Sorry, my battery's at 100%. I need that. You know, don't throw that away and we'll never use it. You ever had that? You got this one thing, these things in your house that they're just there because they've been there. You know, I've been in my house for 22 years and it is some stuff in here. Now, my house is not cluttered. Let me just be clear on that. Everything I have has a place to go because your house should be able to breathe. You don't want to come in and people have to walk over stuff to get through your house. No, I have plenty of room. But in those closets and in the attic, there are some things that we need to cut away. Under the stairs, there's some stuff that needs to cut away. And so he has a principle in his book that he talk about that, you know, he referred to as the 15% rule, and we'll get to that one, but it makes sense of why you got to get rid of some of the stuff in your life. Two is cutting back and cutting away the sick and the disease things. You know, that one can be tough, and that's where we are in some things. You know, when some ain't quite dead and you got an emotional attachment to it, it can be difficult to see those branches fall away, and you have to take a look at what's not changing. Despite your best efforts, sometimes you just have to take a look back, and you're using a lot of resources, a lot of things, and a lot of time, and a lot of energy in your mind and your mental, trying to care for the sick and the disease. And there may be a point in which no extra amount of care is going to make it well. You know, sometimes you got to put things in hospice. And, you know, there's times when you got to put it away, you know. You know, it's like winter and summer. You know, you fold up the winter clothes and you put them up and you box them up and pull out the summer clothes. And you move on through the winter and you lay that down to pick it up again. But then there are times when you just got to remove the whole dead. And that's just simply taking up space and resources. And it's not adding anything or any value to your life. And as hard as it can be, it's just time to say goodbye. You know, just like with the sick and the disease, the emotional attachment makes it difficult to do. And so we can liken that to change. I do. And so when it comes to saying goodbye to that treasure stuff, like, oh my God, no, that's got sentimental value, you know, and things like that, like a picture, you know, and you got memories and reminders without needing to actually have those things. And, you know, we have memorabilia, you know, our kids, when they're coming up in school, I have both my children, even from kindergarten, ECE, cards that they've made me. I have everything. Those are things that's worth keeping. But, you know, it's one of those things. Does it add to your life? It adds to the sentimental value. But then there's this 15% rule that says removing 15% of what we do have or what we do or have to make room for the new. Remember, you got to that feeling when you're feeling like a magnet and collecting so much junk as we travel through this life. You can't keep it all. Where are you going to make room for the new? When you hold on to something, where's the new going to go? How's it going to fit? Especially when there's something blocking that, something that you're putting time and energy to prune. You're out there gardening and you're doing it, but it's never going to grow. It's not going to come back. That rose is not going to come back. So there's sometimes you got to give that up. Sometimes we got to give that up. We're not meant to keep everything, but we are supposed to be fruitful. And we each have a God-given desire to achieve and create and connect, but we got to let go. We got to let go of some of the things. So that's why today I think about that, and especially just because of what I'm going through. So it's one of these blogging days where you're just talking about your life and this journey. And for me, it's the coolest thing, though. You know, does it feel good? No, but I welcome it because it makes me a better person. When you prune your life, it's easy to focus on what's important. You can firm up your foundation for the fruit to come. So I got more breathing space. You know, your yield, it will bring an increase. And so you got to make room for the new opportunities and connections. And it's a lot of gain from doing that work. You know, people, we stay stuck. We stay stagnated in life. You know, you ever see people, hey, I'm just here. Is it just cool to exist? You know, just to be here and not make a mark, to be here and not live, to, you know, so much is changing. You look at the landscape of life. Of course, when you're living in end times, I was listening to a pastor the other day, and he was saying some things that even in the world waxing cold and things, he put it out in such a way that was one of those wow moments. And when I say he could spell out everything and how we are and what we are positioned to and how people are responding to each other, even in love, even in relationships, even in marriages, I don't even have an answer for that, save that we are just headed for end times. I am a believer. So anyway, but we have to be encouraged when we start that, because it'll hurt. Like I said, it's going to be some pain in getting rid of that old, that even some of the good stuff, the sick and the dead, because it's good, but it's not your best. It's good, but it's not God's best for your life. It's something we did. It's something we put together. And pruning doesn't always mean getting rid of somebody. Pruning can mean getting rid of some of your attitude, some of the ways that you are. And that's the hard part, even when we're cutting away pieces of who we are. We're not the best, but then you have to be willing to admit that, hey, I got some issues. Hey, I got some things that's causing me some consternation. I got some things that's making me miss out on God's best for my life. I got some things that has been holding me back for seasons, where I've been in this season for such a long time that I shouldn't still be here. I shouldn't still be at this juncture, you know? So it's good, but, you know, you have to let go of dead branches to experience an abundant growth, especially in Christ. So, you know, you gotta, you know, there's times, again, you gotta cut those branches back so far that you're okay. You, it looked like ain't nothing left on these things. And you think, oh my gosh, you done destroyed everything. You know, if you ever had somebody come and cut your trees back. But if you just sit back and watch and see, and sure enough, before long, that tree is going to start looking much better than it did before. See, when you cut those dead branches, they're not hanging in every direction. So see, your life is not hanging here. You're not in the balance here. Everything start growing back the way God intended for your life to grow. Everything start growing back just like that. And so just like those trees that need it from time to time, because it's overgrowth. Sometimes it could be the overgrowth. We need to prune and have our life reshaped in different times, and so in different areas of our lives. So we're good in some areas, and then some areas we may be bad in. So John 15:2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly, emphasis added, prunes, so that it will bear much fruit. That's even richer and finer fruit added. So it's important for us to grow in our walk with God, even in this thing. Because it's helpful to me, I find it helpful to evaluate my life periodically and ask him to show me where there are things in my life that need to be cut off, because it's hindering my relationship and my walk with him. And it's also hindering me from being the best that he's calling me to be. So you got to ask yourself, am I dragging around dead branches in my life? Maybe it's a bad relationship. Maybe it's an old wound from the past. Maybe it's a negative attitude that keeps coming up, that keeps you from enjoying life to the fullest, or anything that you look for to make sense of, other than God itself. So then we make things our idols. So it would be nice if we could see what God sees and say, yeah, let's get rid of that branch. But so many times we're afraid to do that because we don't want to give up what we know. See, that's what we call familiar spirits. It's a familiarity with the things that we have. You know, we don't want to, you know, that's something new. We can't see that. We can't understand it because we're familiar, and it's easier to navigate through what we, you know, you in your house, and I bet you could walk through your house with the lights off. You don't need light. You know, all the steps, you know, the turns, you know, you get in a new house, baby, you done tore that big toe up. You're going to hit a wall. You start singing new words. You done added new words on because you've moved to something new. Your old house, you know, everything, every where I'm going to step this way. If you got those hardwood floors where you know it's not going to squeak because you don't want to wake up everybody in the house. Of course, me, I'm empty nest. I ain't nobody. I'm going to wake up. But me and Jesus in here. So, but when you move to something new, now you got to learn that all over again. You happy you bought the house. It's beautiful. You love it, you know, but it takes some getting used to. It's the new. And so, but what we don't understand is it's miserable dragging around dead things. There's this story, you know, how these, what you call them, motivational things. And they always tell you something about put the bricks in your backpack and you start carrying the bricks up the hill and how heavy it get and how heavy it get. There's some, you know, and it's pain to carry it, but that's how life is. You're carrying your life in there in this baggage. So we just, sometimes we got to abide in Jesus so we can bear good fruit. And he loves us that much that he wants us to do great things. In and through him, you know, and through you. So he want to teach us and train us how to be kind, how to be gentle, peaceful and patient, loving and forgiving. So, but you can't develop that fruit on your own. You can't do that. John 15 and 4 say, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So in other words, we got to spend time with God. We got to spend time in our quiet time, trying to meditate, trying to have that good relationship with him. It's about more than going to church. I know some people are not, I'm not solo, I'm not religious, you know. We are the church. The church on Sunday morning is just a building where we go because the Bible says don't forsake the ecclesia, and that's the assembling of the church to come together for like people who can encourage each other. But you are the church. He ain't coming back for that building, I promise you. He coming back for you. So we have to make sure we stay connected to him and meaningful Bible study and prayer and where we're abiding in him. And I can tell you through this season of my life and my pruning, baby, I can't do nothing but stay close connected. And I would run this thing all day. I would run that, these sermons all day. I would meditate and worship all day because it hurts when you're pruning. It hurts, but it's necessary. And so I have to stay connected, but I also have to keep my eye on the prize. In Philippians 3:13-14 says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we go to the mark. We press toward the mark. But we got to make a determined decision to let go of the things of the past and press on to experience a richer and fuller life and a more abundant life in Christ, you know. And sometimes you just, Lord, I'm just tired of dragging this heavy load around with me. I'm ready to let it go. I can't go on like this. I've got to get my life better and closer with you. And we have to ask him to help us remember whatever he tells us to do. He'll give us, you got to remember, he'll give you the ability to do it. If we give ourselves over totally to him, he'll give us his best for us. So You go, well, Kim, okay. That sounds okay. What needs pruning? So now, you know, I don't like gardening because a green thumb. I don't have a green thumb. I have my red, blue, purple. I can't do no gardening. So I can't do that, you know. Same thing, you know, if you're not talking about gardening, think about wine. You know, they do that with the wine. There's a thing that we talked about with the wine and cutting back vines and removing so many percentages of that and all of that in the vineyards. So, you know, what pruning decisions do we need to make? And what might need cutting back, even if it seems counterintuitive? So let's see. Number one, we can stop spending time with draining people. If somebody is draining your life, even if you're related to them, you can subtly edit the amount of time that you talk to them, the time spent with Debbie Downer and pessimistic Pete at work. That's healthy pruning at its finest. See, it doesn't always have to be what you think. Well, I mean, I can't, you know. It's the little things that we prune from our lives that make us better. You might need to step off of some big project that you attach yourself to, knowing that it's beyond your limitations of what you can do because you're trying to impress somebody. We got to stop that people pleasing. Stop trying to people please people and then get yourself caught up. You know those memes that says, those people be on there when they say when you lied on your resume and you can't, it's people about to cut the whole foot off. You know, you lied on your resume and said you're a tree climber, but can't try and climb not nail tree. And I said not nail tree. So you gotta reconsider those things. You know, am I really fit for this? Can I really do this? So, you know, what do I need to embrace? What do I need to change? You know, do I need to set boundaries? You know, you need to be mindful of your pruning timing. You know, things that you learn about it. It's just not about how much you get from your life, but when. So don't wait till you're bitter and resentful to let me, I'm going to get it now. No, that's not pruning. That's reacting, y'all. When we clip away at things you suspect are starting to rob you from enjoying your life before they, in fact, just kill your soul, y'all. You have to do that and take an honest reflection of what's going on in your life. And that's, like I said, for me, I think this is important for me because, like I said, this is a journey right now that I'm going through, but it's different in my 50s than it was in my 30s, than it was in my 40s, than it was in my 20s. See, God has always been ever present in my life. He's always been moving in my life. He's always been doing the work in my life. But at those junctures, even when he was doing it in my 20s and 30s, my responses were different because my maturity level wasn't there. My walk with God wasn't there. You know, they call it spiritual when we own milk and then when you go to solid food and that walk changed because that relationship changes. And you mature in life and things that used to matter that doesn't matter anymore. We don't major in the minors anymore. So it looks different when we resign ourselves to these things that we're doing. So, and I've learned a long time ago, see, for me, mine, and I can be honest and just transparent here, I don't have to prune draining people. See, that's not my niche. I don't have to prune people at work. That's not it. You get what I'm saying? Because I know how to handle that. You won't come in my space. Now my mental, that's different because things said in my life, things that I've dealt with mentally, things that I've dealt with emotionally. So see, my pruning is different because it's that war in the mind. When we went in the battlefield is in the mind. And it's in the mind that we serve the Lord, but it's also in the mind of where that devil, that trickster, try to play. So it's like the matrix of trying to unlearn, relearn, and learn those things that aren't true, those things that we believe, the lies even that we've told ourselves based off what somebody else told us or based off the narrative that someone spoke. And so then for me, my pruning, my breakaway is becoming transparent more so with me and shaping my life to be a better version of me. So we have to not be afraid to cut back on what we think is reasonable, because it's, you got to remember, it's not about them. You can let somebody else have your life. You can let somebody else do that. But remember, your life is like a tree, y'all. And each branch is an interest and activity in a relationship. And each one of them require energy to bear fruit. So some may be dying in disease. Some are at cross purposes, and others are broken beyond repair. You know, so when you have an overfull life or feel overwhelmed, it's a sign that you have too many branches. Your energy is too diffuse to sustain anything. So you got to prune back things that are non-essential. You have to provide more vigor to the activity that your branches that remain. So the ABCs, pruning away, ABCs. And, you know, for dead and diseased, you know what the dead and diseased is. Anything that is unhealthy or already dead. If it's already dead and you know it's dead, stop playing. You know, you already checked out. You've already done the work. You've already, it ain't going, that car won't start. That 1977 Chevelle will not start. Good, it is 2024. Let go of that raggedy car and give it away to pipes. You know, crossing is prune any branches that cross or touch to prevent disease. You know how they say one apple spoils the whole bunch. Ain't that the apple? You know, you got that strawberry in there, and now the fuzz up. Now the fuzz off everything. You done cross-contaminated all your strawberries. Now you got to throw the whole thing away. If you had looked at those strawberries when they got home and cleaned them and washed them and said, oh, one's about to go bad, and threw that thing away, you'd have, now your $10 down the drain unless you're going to take it back to the store. But that cross, but if it's been in the refrigerator forever, because, you know, you buy something, you got a taste for it then, and then you don't really want it. You got to throw the whole thing away because now it's been cross-contaminated. Then it's, you have those that are broken. Those little raggedy broken branches that's hanging on the tree, waiting on them, you know, that can heal. You know, those trees that's going to tear up your whole house if the wind blow it down. And then you have that airflow. You got to prune out branches to make space for air and light. And that's what, and that prevents mold. And that's what I'm talking, even in your house have to breathe. It's cluttered. It got too much junk in it. There's too much stuff here. So you got to be able to ask yourself, what objects in my life are dead or diseased? What activities am I engaged in that I no longer feel in inviting to? Dr. Cloud said he and his wife always went out with this couple. And one particular day he was like really depressed and he was down. And he asked his wife, why are we going out with them anymore? And she said, because you want to. He said, I don't want to. She said, I don't want to either. But the couple that they went out with forever, he said, we could be out with Gary and Lisa, you know, but because they've tied themselves to this routine that they do all the time. But of course, this couple had taken a different direction in their life and had a different interest of what they had an interest. So then there were no more commonalities. And he realized that. So then you have to ask what people feel toxic or excessively draining, you know, what people are draining in your life. So weak branches die on their own, whether you prune them or not. Remember that when you prune something that's dying or diseased, the branches that remain become much stronger and more fruitful. So you got to remember, I'm doing a good service because the rest is going to be stronger. The rest is going to be fruitful. And that's when we're talking about the dead and diseased things. We got to reflect on those areas that no longer feel vital or life-giving. And even if we talk about crossing, think about conflicts of interest in your life. What possessions do you have that are in opposition to your values? What do you consume? Food, media, objects that keep you from devoting yourself to the things that you truly love. I tell people, show me your phone, I'll show you your life. Show me your friends, I'll show you your life. What activities do you engage in that are at cross purposes to your goals and dreams? How many of those doggone TikToks you're going to watch while we watching making somebody else rich, and you got dreams and goals and aspirations, but you can't get them because you caught into the social media drab. You're looking at everybody else's life. Now you're envying their life. Now you done went down in a whole tunnel and put yourself in a cave because now the comparison trap sets in and you're comparing your life to those that are there without even making a move to do something different in your life. What people in your life get under your skin? disregard what's important to you or impose on you and not giving anything back. Cross branches rub against each other's in the wind, and it caused those scratches on the plant's skin and give pest and disease a way to enter. You know, like the devil. We believe that and we give him a chance to come in. So that creates that vulnerability, and it taxes the plant's ability to keep itself healthy. That sound familiar? Now they taxing on you. Now you're down. Now you don't want to do nothing. You don't want to go nowhere. And then, you know, we talked about the ABCs, D's. That was the D, that's C, be broken. Reflect on what's not working for you. Make a list of things that can't be repaired. What possessions you have cannot be repaired, or to do so is going to require too much energy, time, effort, and money. What activities no longer support your growth? Are you going in a different direction with what you're allowing in your space? That's also called boundaries. What relationships are beyond repair and need to be exited? You and Tom and Bill been 15 years and he ain't asked you not now time to marry. Girl, bye. Leave him alone. Once a limb is broken, that tree becomes really vulnerable to disease and pest, and it'll eventually die on its own, but it's better practice to make a clean cut so the plant can heal. That's the same that's true for our hearts. We don't want our hearts broken beyond repair, that when we get to somebody else, we bleeding on people that didn't cut us. You get what I'm saying? Because you didn't heal that thing right. Then you didn't get it together right. And you allowed it to permeate to the recesses of things that, you know, you have to do better with your life because it's about you. In A, airflow. Think about the amount of spaciousness you crave in your life. How much space do you physically need around you? How does that compare to the space you currently have? How much time do you need for self-care daily? How much time you need between activities to clean up and refocus? How much time alone do you need? And how much connection with others? See, without that airflow, a tree becomes stressed. The fruit is too close together, and it can't be, it can be bruised or it can rot. Branches don't get enough light. They die on their own anyway. Space is healthy. What fruit do you want to bear, y'all, in your life? Because cutting back can be challenging, I know it, but it helps to think about what you want to flourish, though. At some juncture, you got to go, okay, you know, what do I want my home to be like? What qualities do I want it to have? How do you want your life to be in terms of heart, spirit, body, mind? What kind of relationship do you want? What does that relationship look like? How do you want to contribute to your circle, your community, and your world? See, your response to all these questions that we ask ourselves are like choosing the variety of fruit you want to grow. But you got to focus on it and pruning what is not. It's not easy, but it does. When you focus on this and pruning what is not, it can become a lot easier, though. And that's the reality of pruning. Despite loving where your life is in some areas, there are some areas where it's a drain. There are some areas where you know you're feeling twinges. There are some areas where you know it's not good for you. Am I sure? Can I really let this go? Is this the right branch? You know, it's a lot of things come with you. The devil play those tricks. When I'm letting go of something in my life, I feel that same twinge. But it's trust. There's no guarantee that the remaining branches will bear fruit. But it's likely. You're not assured of more enjoyment if you let go of possessions or an unhealthy relationship, but it's likely. The hard part is not knowing, but that's what we trust. Faith. Every time I cut, I get a little more confident in deciding what needs to go in my life. Every time I cut. So if you're not sure, it's okay to let some grow for another season. See what it does. The fading relationship might spring and blossom. The jeans might start fitting better thanks to a new exercise plan. You never know. But I know one thing. It's your life. And it's all about where you want to be. And it's all about letting go. And it's all about growing. And it's all about being better and having the courage to stand. It takes courage. And I know. It's hard. And I know. For me, it just comes, and I don't even man, I don't even get to choose. Like, Lord, I'm not ready right now for that. It just comes like a flood. And it's like clockwork, y'all. But then it's also, this time has taught me that sometimes we can put things ahead of God and we can put things out at the forefront and they become idols. And God will move anything from your life that's above him. Don't get it twisted, whether you believe and know him or not. Put something too high, too, exalt something too much, and watch what happened to it. All these things will be added unto you when we seek him first. Remember that. All these things will be added unto you, but I want you to be encouraged. I love you all. And like I said, right now, it's one of those heartfelt things. I know I was kind of all over the place because I'm at a place in my life where he's pruning me. He's shaping me and molding me into something different, someone different. And it's a good thing. But I know what it feels like because I go through it every so many seasons of my life because I pray and I ask him to change me. I ask him to move those things for me that's not good. I ask him to search my heart. Lord, search my heart. See if there's any wicked ways in me. Lord, anything that's not of you. Lord, anything that keeps me from my best and your best of what, move it. See, I pray. And it's not how they say, be careful what you pray for. I need that because it keeps me at my best. I don't want anything dead hanging around. You know, dead things rot, dead things smell. You ever smell something dead on the side of the road? Mm-mm. Just think of that in your life. Do you want that dead smell all the time? And see, as you've gotten so accustomed to the smell, you don't even know it's rotten. But it is. You've gotten so used to him saying you're stupid or somebody not thinking your worth and value is enough, but that's not the case. We're fearfully and wonderfully made with a head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So yeah, I know mine. Does it feel good? Mm-mm. I've had some rough weeks here, y'all. I've had some struggles. Oh, but I thank God for Jesus because he's my source. And you know, if he take you to it, he'll bring you through it. So it's worth it. I can promise you it's worth it because each time you change, there's something better that he has for your life. There's something greater that he has for your life. And guess what? Let me tell you something before I go. Sometimes the change is not people. Sometimes the change is us. It's not always a person. So don't get it twisted where we think, oh, she's throwing away. No, I'm throwing away pieces of me. I'm throwing away the pieces of me that I don't even like, that I know won't serve God's best for where he's taking me to. And sometimes we have to be willing to admit that I don't like what I see in the mirror, not by my face, but I don't like sometimes the attitude that I have. I don't like sometimes my responses to people. And he has to prune that away. He has to get that out. It's a good thing. And I love you, y'all. Be blessed. Happy Friday. Happy Friday.